Good morning. I want you to, if you have your handlet booklet thing in your hand, turn to page 5 where we had the reading from Matthew, and we're going to be reading along with that this morning. I have a question for you all. I'm not from here, so if you know the answer to this question, you can't answer, but where do you think I'm from?
Belgium?
No, I'm not from Belgium. Any guesses? Come on, don't be shy. Sydney? What country is that in?
Australia.
I'm from Australia. And since I wanted to talk to you about Christmas this morning, I thought I would start by reading a poem about Christmas in Australia, written by a guy called John Smith Williams. And it's called Aussie Christmas. Christmas in Australia is different to what you know. We don't see any reindeer, and for sure there is no snow. No steaming Christmas pudding or eggnog by the fire. Too much of that hot stuff makes all of us perspire. The sun is brightly shining, the sky is blue and bright, the waves are breaking on the beach, the tide is in just right. I've got my great new surfboard, the Barbie's on the beach, the chops are cooking nicely, the snags are lined up neat. The temp is in the 40s, the sand is white, fine and white. There's coldies in the esky, all has turned out right. Who needs the snow and iced up roads, Santa and his sleigh? We'll have a red hot Christmas, because that's the Aussie way. So it's not like Canada at all, is it? And I've spent a couple of Christmases here, and it just doesn't seem right to me. Because for me, most of my life, Christmas was about summer holidays. It was a time I got presents, and I got presents from some old guy that I'd never met who had a bunch of reindeer. It was the one day a year that my family wouldn't yell at each other. We had lots of food, and we had we popped the Christmas crackers and wear the coloured hats and tell the really awful jokes. But if you'd asked me what the meaning of Christmas was, I don't think I would have been able to tell you. But that all changed about 8 years ago when I became a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 15. My friend Sally from school invited me along to her youth group at the church she went to. And it was there that I heard about this guy, Jesus. And we read the Bible together, and I learned about all the amazing things that Jesus did while on earth. And I learned that he had died for me on a cross because God loved me and wanted to have a relationship with me. And I learnt that Jesus didn't stay dead, but that, in fact, God raised him from the dead, never to die again. And one of the things that stood out to me most was how different the people were. They really loved each other. And that's not something I'd seen in that context before. For me, becoming a Christian was a gradual process. I'm not actually sure when exactly it happened, but it was a process of learning and accepting and believing the things that we were learning and things I was taught from the Bible. And I realised that I wanted to live my life following God and that I wanted to accept his rescue. It was then that I understood the significance of Christmas. I understood what Christmas was all about. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in the passage we read about Jesus' birth, in the passage from the book of Matthew in the Bible. So Christmas is about rescue and relationship. Christmas is the time that we remember that God sent Jesus to earth and that he sent him to rescue us. So we're going to look at three questions this morning, and we're going to look at the what, the why, and the how. So we're going to start with the what. So if Christmas is about Jesus rescuing us, what is it that we need to be rescued from? And our passage today actually tells us. If you come and look at verse 21 of the Matthew passage with me, an angel appears to Joseph and it says to him in verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So we have the answer to our question. We need to be rescued from our sin. Now, Julian touched on this a bit earlier, but names actually mean something. And did you actually know that the name Jesus is actually the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. So in the first century, people would have known Jesus as Joshua. And the name Joshua means God saves. So the name Jesus means God saves. And that's exactly why God sent Jesus. He sent him to rescue us from our sin. Now, the word sin is a word that comes with a lot of baggage nowadays. So I want to spend a bit of time explaining a bit more about what the word sin actually means. You know what? I'm a sinner. I'm sinful. We all are. The Bible says that we've all turned our backs on God. We have all rejected or ignored him. None of us are right with God. None of us have a relationship with him. In fact, our relationship is broken. Because you can't have a relationship with someone if you ignore or reject them. And the same goes for God. You can't have a relationship with God if you ignore or reject him. Sin is rejecting or ignoring God. God hates sin, and he takes it very seriously. And the Bible says that because we have all sinned, because we have all turned our backs on God, that we will be judged. And the verdict will be that we are guilty. And the punishment for sin is death, that is unending separation from God. Now, we can't get out of our sin. It's like we are treading water in sin. And sometimes we think that our sin is like a backyard swimming pool where we can just swim to the side and hop out. But really, we are in an ocean full of sin. And it is deep and it is wide and we are struggling to keep our heads above water. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Some of you know him. And he was going to drown. Eric was swimming at a beach in Australia, in Sydney, that is known for having really rough waters, to have really rough surf. And he was swimming one day, and he got caught in a rip current, which dragged him out all the way, about half a kilometre out from shore. And the lifeguards were used to this happening, because it happened all the time, because the beach was known for it. And one of them noticed that he'd been dragged out. So they jumped in a boat and putted out to him. And he said, "G'day, mate. How'd you like a lift back to shore?" And you know what Eric said? "No, thanks. I'm fine. I'm a pretty good swimmer. I'll make it back to shore on my own." So the lifeguard was like, "Okay." And he putted away. About 10 minutes later, Eric was still struggling. Waves were breaking over his head, and he was spluttering, and he was trying to keep his head above water. And he realised that he was in serious trouble. And he realised he wasn't going to get back to shore. Without help, he was going to drown. Sin is similar. We think we're okay. Or we say to ourselves, "I'm a pretty good person. I give to charities, and I'm nice to my family, and I've never murdered anyone. I mean, I'm a lot better than most people." We don't recognise that we need help. We don't realise that we've ignored or rejected the one who can actually help us. We think we're in a calm swimming pool, when actually we're in an ocean, and the water's rough, and it's getting rougher, and we need someone to pull us out. So to summarise, sin is serious. And the root of sin is rejecting or ignoring God. So we'll come back to Eric's story a bit later, but for now I want to look at our second question, the why. So if God hates sin so much, then why does he want to rescue us? God hates sin, but he loves us. God wants to be in a relationship with us. The Bible tells us that God created the world and everything in it, and that includes us. That includes you. God made you, and he loves you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. That's why he sent Jesus. In order for us to have a right relationship with God, the problem of sin needs to be dealt with. And there's nothing that we can do ourselves to fix it, to fix the problem, to fix our relationship. So we need God to rescue us. And the good news for us is that God had a plan figured out already. And so we come to our third question, the how. How did Jesus rescue us? Okay, so far we've established that sin is the cause of our broken relationship with God. And because God loves us and made us, he wants to be in a relationship with us. So he sent Jesus into the world on a rescue mission. Remember what it said in verse 21 of our passage? Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. That was his mission statement. But how did he do it? How did he rescue us? Well, Jesus, unlike us, lived a perfect, sinless life. He perfectly obeyed God. In fact, he is God. He proved this by the things that he said and the things that he did, which we have recorded for us in the Bible. He travelled around for about 3 years, teaching, healing, and doing amazing things that showed his followers that he was God. And the most amazing thing that Jesus did, the way he rescued us, was to die on a cross. Now, Jesus didn't just die for my sins or for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. In his death, he carried all the sin that we should carry ourselves. He died for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. He sacrificed himself so that we could have a restored relationship with God. Jesus is stepping in front of us when we're in front of a firing squad, and he takes all the bullets so that we can live. But Jesus didn't stay dead. On the third day after he died, God raised him from the dead, and Jesus is now in heaven where he's waiting to return and judge the world. Now, Jesus didn't deserve to die. He was perfect, but he willingly and obediently died on a cross for us. Jesus died the death that we all deserve for rejecting or ignoring God. If you trust in Jesus' death, then you can have a restored relationship with God. In fact, you can call God Father, and he can call you his child. So now we've covered the what, the why, and the how of the rescue. So my question to you is, will you accept the rescue that Jesus offers? Sin has to be dealt with, so we have two options. We can pay for our sin ourselves, or we can accept Jesus' death as payment for our sin. Now back to my friend Eric. When we left the story, he was in a bad way. Now the lifeguard was quite experienced. It happened a lot. And he hadn't actually gone back into shore at all. He'd just gone about 40 metres away and was sitting in his boat watching Eric. And Eric was really struggling. The waves were breaking over his head and he wasn't going to make it. So the lifeguard comes putting back over to him. Put, 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 put. And he says, "G'day, mate. How'd you like a lift back to shore?" "Yes, I'll take it," says Eric. The lifeguard pulls him on the boat and brings him safely back to shore, back to solid ground. Now, we saw earlier that Eric didn't realise that he needed to be rescued. And in fact, he turned away the one who could have rescued him. In fact, he thought he could do it himself. Now, if the lifeguard hadn't been there, the story would have turned out very differently. And that's the same way that some people treat Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth to rescue us. But we don't see it, or we ignore it, or we reject him. We think we are okay by ourselves, but the reality is that we aren't. We need to realize that we need rescuing, and that Jesus is the only one who can rescue us. The Bible says that whoever trusts in Jesus' death can have eternal life. that is, life, that this life isn't the end, that when we die, we have the hope of spending all eternity in God's presence in heaven. We will enjoy a restored relationship forever. And that's quite the promise. New life with God. Forever in heaven. I think it's safe to say it's probably the best deal you'll ever be offered. If you ask for God's forgiveness and trust in Jesus' death, and knowing that it means that you have a restored relationship with God, then you can be sure that God will forgive you. No matter what is in your past or what you will do in the future, God will accept you with open arms because he loves you. And you can be sure of this love because he sent Jesus to die for you. So if you are here this morning and you have committed your life to following Jesus, if you are a Christian, then rejoice. Because remember this Christmas, that the birth of a baby who grew up and rescued you. But if you aren't a follower of Jesus, I urge you to accept the rescue that he offers. You will definitely not regret it. This is why Christmas is so important. Jesus was born to save the world. Without Jesus, we would have no hope of a restored relationship with God. We'd have no chance of a relationship with God. So to end this morning, what I'm going to do is say a prayer. And if you would like to accept the rescue that Jesus offers, then I invite you to repeat the prayer silently in your head. I'll read through the prayer once, just so you know what it says, and then I'll read it through another time more slowly, leaving gaps for you to pray it if you want. And then I'm going to ask you, if you would pray it with me. So basically what the prayer says is saying that you admit that you need rescue and you're asking God for forgiveness and saying that you want to live your life following God. So I'll just read out the prayer first. It says, "Dear God, thank you for sending your son to rescue me and restore my relationship with you. Please forgive me for ignoring or rejecting you. Thank you that even though I am a sinner, you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Thank you for loving me. I want to accept the rescue and I want to commit my life to following, to living for you." Okay, so I'm going to pray that and I invite you to pray it with me. Dear God, thank you for sending your son to rescue me and restore my relationship with you. Please forgive me for ignoring or rejecting you. Thank you that even though I am a sinner, you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Thank you for loving me. I want to accept your rescue and I want to commit my life to living for you. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, then I want to assure you that you have been forgiven by God. And it's a very exciting thing. So exciting that, in fact, if you've prayed that prayer, there's a party going on in heaven just for you. So exciting that I want you to tell someone if you prayed that prayer this morning. So you can come talk to myself, or you can come talk to Sean, or if you came with a friend or a family member, talk to them, because we want to talk to you more about it. But I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.